Good evening, and welcome back to the Know Your Role Player Podcast. I'm your host, J215 Forever. Follow your boy on IG, and on my IG page is my podcast page. That's at Know Your Role Player _ podcast. The best way that you can listen to this podcast is to download the Anchor app. That's anchor.fm/ Know Your Role Player. Whether you have Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio Public, iHeartRadio, or many, many more, you can get notifications like when this and many other episodes become available. All right, guys, welcome back. Today is Monday, November 6th. All right, happy Monday. Back to the Grizzly. All right, we got a lot of games to get into. I just want to show some love to some people. I want to just talk about a couple quick things. First of all, I apologize for a little delay. I had some hell out going on outside the pod, but that's neither here or there. We are back. All right. We got a huge slate on the day. Remember, Tuesday, there is no game. So let me just give you all my run through to these games tonight. I'll jump into a couple of things and I'll get y'all out of here. All right. Try to keep this pod under half an hour. Real quick, Warriors and Pistons. I love the Warriors today. Even on the road, when the Pistons are home, I think the Pistons are tough, but I just don't think the Pistons can score with the Warriors. Spurs and Indiana. I'm going to be honest. I know the Spurs are at home. Excuse me. I know the Pacers are at home. And I know that they play Wednesday. Spurs play Wednesday. I actually like the Spurs to win this game in an upset. Once again, also Mavericks and Magic. The Magic are home. They're 4-2. Playing Dallas, that's 5-1. I like the Orlando Magic. Sixers and Wizards. Obviously, I like the Sixers to win at home. Bucks and Nets. Milwaukee is on the road. I like them to win and win convincingly versus this Nets team. Lakers and Heat. This is a pick-em game. I'll probably take the Heat, man. I know the Lakers should probably win this game. It's a good spot for them, but I'll take the Heat. That'll be an ugly game, though. Clippers and Knicks. I got to go with the Clippers. I know the New York is favored at home. I love Jalen Brunson tonight, but I think the Clippers are going to pull it out. Big games from Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Jazz and Bulls. Once again, I'm going to have to go to Upset City, man. I think the Jazz can beat the Bulls. Both of these teams are 2-5, right? So neither one of these teams are good. I just love this matchup. Kings and Rockets. I'm going to go with the Rockets to win this one at home. I know the Kings just won, but I'm going to take Houston to win this one at home. Celtics-Timberwolves, another upset. I got the Timberwolves winning at home. Celtics are favored on the road, which is kind of crazy. Hawks and Thunder. Going to upset again, I got the Atlanta Hawks beating the Thunder. I know SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is playing. I still love the Hawks. And last but not least, Pelicans and Nuggets. Got to go with the Nuggets at home. Yo, so let's get into a couple of things that I'm noticing. And I think I got to be fair. So first I want to talk about the James Harden trade, right? So today James Harden makes his debut versus the New York Knicks. I believe that game is in New York. Yes, it is. He is on a minutes restriction, so I think he'll play about 25, 30 minutes. I'm going to be 100% honest with y'all. I don't know how I feel about this trade. So listen, the Sixers are better because Maxey gets the keys. All right, they're better because I think they kind of knew all along that this trade was happening. When James Harden kind of arrived on a team facility to go on a plane, and he was like, no, dog, you can go back home. I think that was pretty much the end of it, you know. They did give him an excused absence for being out, but he wasn't had an excused absence. So I just think this is best for all parties for things to move on. You know, I know a lot of people were kind of frustrated that the Sixers didn't get more veteran role players like a Terrence Mann or a Powell or other guys like that. But I think we did fine. You know, one, we got an unprotected first round pick. We got some wing depth and Nicholas Batum, Marcus Morris. I think we did absolutely fine. Again, I know some other role players that people wanted, but I think the other thing was is that, you know, I believe that we kept our cap space open and have a lot of cap space this offseason. Also, we have a couple of assets with first-round picks moving forward to make a move. And I don't think he's done. I don't think Daryl Morey is done. I do think around the trade deadline, Zach LaVine, fingers crossed. OG Anobi is another guy. I definitely think we're going to add another player. I think we need a secondary ball handler. You know, as much as I love Maxey, there's a lot of pressure on him and there's not much around him if he ever went down with an injury. So I think a secondary ball handler was good. I would love LaVine. I would love him. Nick Nurse to me is a very good coach and can get the best out of people. So the other night when the Sixers did win versus the Phoenix, Nick Nurse talked about even though Maxey had, you know, 22-10, he wasn't aggressive enough and he needs to be better. Right, he said this in a win, so it's just accountability is a beautiful thing when it's fair on both sides and it helps you grow and get better, right? And that's my thing. So listen, back to the Clippers. All right, so here's the thing with the Clippers, right? And people say, well, why did they add James Harden? This is an all-in team. I believe Paul George and Kawhi become free agents, options to be a free agent this summer. Same with James Harden. This team is going all in now. Also, they're not a great passing team. You know, sometimes I think the other team have like 40 field goals and 17 assists. The one thing James Harden can do is get other people shots. You look at guys like Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, they're really good three-point shooters. James Harden can find shooters. He can operate good in the pick and roll. Even at his advanced age of 33, he's still really, really good. All right, the guy averaged 19 and 10, and those aren't numbers to laugh at, right? Now, it'll be interesting because there's kind of like an overlapping issue, right? James Harden plays point guard. Russell Westbrook plays point guard. Yes, they play together, and obviously they can play on the court together, but they kind of run into each other where James is a little more slow and methodical in the pick and roll. And I thought the Westbrook dynamic is really big for the Clippers because sometimes the Clippers can just play flat. You know, sometimes they can play flat, a little slow. Westbrook brings the energy, attacking the rim, you know, play faster. He just creates a dynamic that he didn't have. And I think they definitely feed off his energy. You know, I know a lot of people give Westbrook a hard time about the shot that he took at the end of the game the other night. But, you know, you got to live with the good and the bad. And with Harden, you know, Harden giveth and Harden taketh, you know. And what I mean by that is, yeah, he'll definitely create other shots on offense, but I kind of don't know what he wants in his career. Like, he said that the Sixers had him on a leash and they were holding him back. My man Embiid said, yo, dog, you got the ball every play, right? And I don't know what he thinks is going to happen. Do you want more offense? Do you want to shoot more? Like, do you want to – I don't know what he wants, but I don't think he's going to get it on the Clippers. Now, this is a lot of talent on the team, so obviously I think they'll be good. I do not think they're winning the championship. I do not think they're going to the Western Conference Finals. I think they'll be a really good team. I think they'll have very peak moments where they look like they can be one of the best teams in the league, but I don't see it, man. And it's a lot of pressure. If this team does fail and doesn't work out, I think you'll see some major changes this offseason. But on the other side, this is a great all-money in. I love when teams go all-in, and this is an all-in move. I think this works well for both teams. The Clippers will not be worse with James Harden. They'll be better because, you know, he can create for others. He can score, and he'll just help them. He'll help them in the half-court settings, another ball handler. He'll help the team, right? But on the other side, like I said, the ceiling is the NBA championship, and the Western Conference Finals is a start to get there. I don't see them in there. Even though the Nuggets recently had an injury with Jamal Murray and his hamstring, it doesn't seem to be long-term. I still love the Nuggets. I still like quite other teams over the Clippers, all right? But that's neither here nor there. Let's keep it going. The other thing I want to talk about on the other side is Julius Randle. Yo, Julius Randle has some of the worst shooting nights in the last five games. And I talked about how, before the season, how shot selection and matchup is everything. And he just gets really frustrating. You know, he takes a lot of threes. He just takes bad shots versus, like, mismatches. I just hate how he attacks offensively. And sometimes his body language can get bad. Yo, so there was a play towards the end of the Bucks game last night, where Julius Randle kind of, you know, Jalen Brunson took a shot. Julius Randle kind of made a face, did not get back on defense. I know that's a major red flag with me. Did not get back on defense, and they went to go score the other way. I think Lillard went to go score and one layup the other way. And it just kind of drives me crazy. So real quick, Julius Randle and Luka Doncic, I got a word for y'all too. I am begging y'all dudes to get back on defense. Now, Randle's not as bad as Doncic. Listen, I know Luka Doncic can win MVP. He's one of the best players in the league. Yo, he has the worst first foot in transition. What I mean by that is, you know, the runners, like, you know, hand up, hand down, head forward. Your first foot in transition is awful. There's so many times he didn't cross half court. He's crying about fouls. Yo, he's a world-class player. But, dog, these are the same habits that have been there a couple of years, man. And, again, Luka's kind of a guy that he's such a dominant player that I don't think, like, they're going to challenge him. Like, I don't want to say that Jason Kidd isn't challenging him because that's not fair, but it's a lot on him, you know, and it's a lot on his plate, and he kind of handles it all well. And as quiet as it kept, the Dallas Mavericks have been a pretty, pretty good team, all right? Dallas is 5-1. They were the last undefeated team to go down. Excuse me, the Celtics are 5-0. I apologize about that. But they're the second last undefeated team to go down, and they've been good. So I want to give a couple of love to a couple of role players. Let me start with my man, Grant Williams. Grant Williams was an acquisition from Boston, and it was kind of interesting, right? So When Grant Williams was in Boston, he came off the bench. He had some really good moments, but it kind of seemed like it was real interesting how he was inconsistent with his minutes. Like, when he played, he had some big moments. Remember, he had all those threes in the big game seven versus the Bucks. He had some big moments versus Philly. You thought, like, this is a really good 3-and-D player. He's strong. He can guard a couple different positions. You know, he can shoot the three. It was just really interesting. I honestly think that Boston kind of, like, I don't know. I'm not going to say that they kind of lowered his value, but they could have used him. And they just kind of didn't play him at times, which I thought was weird. And you got to give credit where credit is due. He's been absolutely phenomenal on the on Dallas. Real quick, let me give y'all some Grant Williams numbers. So his last four games, if I can find it real quick, Dallas. Here we go. I'm sorry about that. So Grant Williams' last four games, he's had 18 points, 13 points, 25 points, 15 points. All right. Not too much assists. Also been averaging about 4.5 rebounds and been hitting a ton of threes. He's made at least 2 threes in his last 4 games, including 4-2 games and 7-1 game. He has been absolutely amazing. You know, it's so important that a team like Dallas, when you have guys like Kyrie and Luka, has just 3-and-D guys that can play off to him, right? Josh Green is another guy that's been playing really well. Then you got to give credit to the rookie. Let me make sure I get his name right. I think it's Blake Lively, right? I had a double-double last night. Does a really good job at rim running, going to the rim, attacking the rim, and waiting for the lob, and just creating gravity going towards the rim, right? And so what that gravity does, that helps shooters get open. Guys like I named Grant Williams, Tim Hardaway Jr., Josh Green, you know, a lot of open opportunity. Also interesting, Tim Hardaway Jr., I watched the game last night. He took a lot of shots. They did wind up losing to the Charlotte Hornets, which is a bad loss. Nothing to worry about too much. Luka didn't shoot too well, and LaMelo had a triple-double. Finally, his first game, he looked like the starter he should be. But the interesting thing was Kyrie didn't take a lot of shots. I watched that game, and I was like, you know, he didn't attempt a lot of shots, and I don't know what it is. It was a big thing. He's only averaging his last four games, 18, 22, 17, and 22. Now, I believe he is healthy, but those are pretty low scoring numbers for a guy that can easily should average 25-plus points. So I think that Dallas has to do a better job as getting Kyrie, you know, things he likes, whether pick and roll or coming off the ball. I think they have to run more action for him. You know, Luka, you know, is the pick and roll all day. He's either going to shoot a step back three, or he's going to, you know, find you big and drag him to the rim. But they got to do a little bit more better job of integrating Kyrie Irving and just kind of making him more of a focal point. And on his side, he got to be more aggressive, man. There was just too many times he was passive. He did play really well as a passer, having 10 assists last night. But listen, I think the world of Kyrie. I think I have him in high regard. So when he's not playing up to an elite level, I got to say something, all right? All right, I got to eat a little bit of humble pie. It's early in the season. It's early in the season. One, I want to stand on what I say. One, I told y'all that I would not have traded Jordan Poole for Chris Paul because personally, I just think that Jordan Poole is a very great talent. But it's important to note one thing. One, Chris Paul has played phenomenal. He's destroying second unit lineups, averaging a bunch of assists. And Jordan Poole needs structure, right? And the reason why I say that is I'm not walking back what I said with Jordan Poole. I said what I said, and I'm standing on it. But the thing is, a guy like him, as talented as he is, if there's not structure about playing defense, taking good shots, getting back on defense, he can fall into a lot of bad habits. And so a couple things I'm seeing is his defense has been bad. He's been taking some bad shots, and it's kind of like that team isn't expected to win, so he's kind of just doing whatever he wants now. To his credit, when he has a bad game, he usually does bounce back with a bad game, but I'm not liking what I'm seeing. All right, start the season, he's been inconsistent with points-wise. 18, 27, 11, 13, and 18. Yo, he's a 20-point-per-game scorer. But the other thing is, he's got to be better at a passer. Jordan Poole can really pass, right? He's averaging 3.5 assists. I know he's playing the two, but he can be a better passer than that. I'm sorry. He can be a better passer. He can be a better player. Kyle Kuzma's playing all right. But the other night, yo, he threw an alley-oop off the glass when they were losing. I'm just, no. And it's, like I said, the trade between Chris Paul and Jordan Poole, I know that everybody's loving our Chris Paul. I'm standing on it. I still think Jordan Poole is a world-class player, but structure is needed, and he has to play with more discipline And they just got to kind of hone him in a little bit because he's just kind of doing whatever he wants out there. And it's cool because he went there to grow and have freedom. But it's not cool because he's making some bad plays out there, man. And I got to keep it fair. Speaking of things I got to keep fair, I got to be 100% honest about the Raptors. So, y'all know I wasn't the biggest Scottie Barnes fan. It wasn't that I didn't think he was good. Anytime you have a great work ethic, you can be a really good player, right? But the thing about Scottie Barnes was I was just kind of confused that you wouldn't trade Kevin Durant for him. Now, I still stand on it. I would trade Scottie Barnes for Kevin Durant. I still stand on that point, right? But I got to give credit where credit is due. Here's the thing. So Scottie Barnes last five games, 22, 10, and 10, 24, 8, and 5, 20, 12, and 2, 21, 12, and 5, 24, 8-8 and 30-11-6. As you notice across those board, those are numbers across the board as a rebounder, as a passer. And the other thing I didn't talk about was as a three-point shot. He's really improved his three-point shot. He looks like a star in the making, right? And it's never that I didn't like him. And again, a guy with a work ethic, a wingspan, the ability to play defense, he was going to be good. But I think he has a legit all-star chance or higher. You know, we'll see how high his ceiling is. But again, doing these numbers, I think his star is here. A couple people talked about it before. I think Scottie Barnes is here. You know, it looks like this is his team. It's kind of also interesting. Pascal Siakam has not looked good to start the season. It's early in the season, so it's way too early to kind of look at, like, you know, once you get into 10 games in the season, to me, is when you get a fair evaluation of things. Right now, things are fluctuating up and down, so it's kind of hard. But I got to be fair with credit, got to give credit where it's due. Victor Wembanyama is probably the most player I've ever been shell-shocked watching, right? So he had 7 blocks last night, finished with 20 points. They actually blew that game to Toronto, but there are so many times where he is just affecting a three-point shot. He caused a couple of back-to-back air balls, one by Dennis Schroeder, I think the other one by OG. Just going to the paint, he moves his feet really well. Again, I got to be honest. The only thing with Victor Wembanyama that makes me nervous is injuries. He's a very big guy, and sometimes those landings make me nervous. Again, knocking on wood, I hope this guy stays healthy, but the sky is the limit, man. He's ahead of schedule on a lot of different things, man. As defensive anticipation, he just makes the Spurs much better, so much more better. Another guy that's good for the Spurs, got to give credit where credit is due, is Keldon Johnson, man. He's probably a name that you probably wouldn't hear about too much, right? You look at the Spurs, you say, yo, Victor Wembanyama. But they have a lot of young talent. They got guys like Keldon Johnson, Jeremy Sochan, which kind of plays like a point guardish role. Trey Jones comes off the bench. Listen, I have one request for the San Antonio Spurs. Start Trey Jones, all right? This guy averages about 4.5 assists off the bench. To me, if he played with stars in about 30 minutes, he's probably getting about 7.5-8 assists, right? And this Spurs team is a little bit better than people realize. I think their overall total was about 30 before the game. But I don't know. I love the Spurs, and I like Victor Wembanyama. The other thing that I got to give credit for is Tyrese Haliburton went absolutely nuclear last night. 43-12. I think it was the first 40-12 point game last night. Also, Kevin Durant dropped a 41-point piece on the Detroit Pistons. And leads me to a little bit of segue. So, y'all know I'm a huge Cade Cunningham fan, and I hear a lot of people talking about Cade Cunningham most improved. I want to be honest with y'all. He's not most improved. This is just y'all first time noticing him because he got hurt last year, right? But this is pretty much the same numbers that he was, well, he's better than he was a rookie, but he's kind of on par for what he was doing his rookie season. Like I said, he had a big injury. He missed most of last year, but this is the player he can be. He can defend. He's a really good passer. He's a good shooter. He can score. He can create for others. And I really like this Pistons team, but I got to be honest. I love Monty Williams, and I believe that what he wants to establish in Detroit is defense first. Everything else comes after that, and I get that, right? They're a bad team. They're a young team. They have a lot to learn, right? With that being said, their starting five does not have enough shooting, right? And as a coach, you got to look at both sides of the ball. And again, I understand he wants to establish defense, and he talked about before Jaden Ivey, James Wiseman. You want to see why these guys aren't playing? They got to do the little things that he needs them to do to get on the court, right? He said Cade cutting him. Other guys, too. Like, when certain guys aren't playing, even though Cade's always played, you know, he wants more out of him defensively. And I understand that also Jalen Durant, he have a lot of good, young, talented defensive players. But like I said, my problem with the Pistons and Monty Williams specifically is this. Yo, there's two sides of the ball. And there is not enough shooting in that Pistons starting lineup, right? There's a rookie, Sasser, that plays for the Detroit Pistons. He has to start, right? You got to put shooting next to Cade. Cade is a world-class passer and creator, but you got Beef Stew, Jalen Duran, Killian Hayes, Cade Cunningham, and then sometimes you have Asar Thompson with those guys. That's not a lot of shooting. That lineup plays a ton of minutes, man. They have to do a better job of putting shooting. And listen, when Bogdan Bogdanovic comes back, I legitimately believe in my heart that the Pistons will go on a run. But until then, Derek Sasser has to play more minutes, man. He's a 6'2 shooting guard. He's a little undersized. But again, Cade is big. He's like 6'6. He can play with him. You need shooting, and you need shooting bad, because the spacing on this team is going to get worse and worse. And even though they have chops defensively, they're going to go against offensive teams who are just better than them, right? You can be solid defensively, but some of that stuff just doesn't matter. Remember, in the NBA, if you're 2 feet open, you're 10 feet open. The margin of error is slim in the NBA, right? So, again, I love Monty Williams, but I just would like to see a little bit more about the spacing for Cade Cunningham and the Detroit Pistons. Also, Asar Thompson, absolutely ridiculous. This rookie class has been amazing. We have Victor Wembanyama, Chet Holmgren, Asar Thompson. This has been a really special rookie class, man. And there's some other guys that's going to come. I know Scoot Henderson, I got hurt a couple of games ago, but he's been playing well. But there's a lot to like in the NBA. So a couple funny things, man. People have been talking about this NBA tournament. I don't think it means anything. I just feel like the NBA just wanted to have something to catch your eye, right? And if the regular season is going to be the regular season, why not? Am I a fan of the tournament? I don't think it's needed. I think it's a little interesting how it's like there's money incentives. You know, all these players are paid well. But again, I'm not the guy that complains about players getting paid. I hope they get paid more and more, right? Because as much as the players make, the owners make a ton too, right? But my thing is like, yo, these injuries and these guys missing games, make NBA players play basketball. Now, I want to have an asterisk next to that statement. If you are injured, you are injured. I don't want to debate it. But guys just sitting because of rest in the third and fourth game of the season, that was ridiculous. Embiid, in the home earth opener, was actually questionable to play, you know? So it'll be interesting. Now, the other thing, and this is my last thing before we get out of here, there is a ton of revenge games and narratives, so I do want to talk about a couple of games and a couple of things to look forward to tonight. So, real quick, I talked earlier about the Celtics and Timberwolves. I honestly believe that'll be the best game on the slate today. The Timberwolves are actually rated number one defensively, thanks to guys like Jalen McDaniels and Rudy Gobert. And we know the Celtics are lights out on offense and defense, and they kind of been blowing teams off out the floor, right? I think that'll be the game to really watch. Now, a couple things. I do believe that Jalen McDaniels will go on Tatum, and I believe Anthony Edwards might guard Jaylen Brown. That's fun. You know, I think it's also important that Kristaps Porzingis plays. He was questionable with an eye, but I think he will play. But if he doesn't, they can be in trouble. But I really, this is a big game for Minnesota. They're 3-2. I expect them to make the playoffs and win about 45-plus games. So this is a good statement win. It's early in the season, but everything matters, and you want to develop chemistry and build confidence. I love this win for them. I want to talk about revenge narratives, and I'm going to get y'all out of here. So Kelly Oubre is playing against the Sixers. He played a couple seasons in Washington. He's started for the Sixers and been one of the, you know, he's averaging 20 points a game along with Maxine Embiid. So I look for him to absolutely go off if he gets the shots. Let's talk about more revenge narratives. We have a good one. The Jazz and the Bulls. Lauri Markkanen was drafted by the Chicago Bulls. You heard it here first. He might go for 30-plus points tonight. All right. Also, DeMar DeRozan. Again, the Jazz are terrible defensively. They're terrible. If DeRozan can't score versus this team, he's going to be in trouble. More revenge narratives. The Bucks versus the Nets. Yours truly, Brook Lopez, one of my favorite players in the league as far as maturation and development and how he's kind of grown as a player. He goes against his old team. Now, remember, their starting center is out, right? Ben Simmons plays center. Now, I could be wrong, but I love Brook Lopez tonight. I think he'll have a good game. He's always been aggressive when he plays in Brooklyn. Got drafted by the Nets when they were part of the New Jersey Nets, interestingly enough. So, Brook's been around for a little bit. And the last one, not a revenge narrative, but a homecoming narrative. So, Trae Young, as y'all remember, is one of my proudest moments on this pod. A guy that when he was in college, I told everybody up and down that he would be an all-star in the NBA. He has become that. With that being said, he became a star at the University of Oklahoma. I believe he's from Hubert, Texas. I think he has a street named after him in Oklahoma. I'm pretty sure he does. So, real quick, even though I think the Hawks are going to win that game, I expect Trae Young to be very, very aggressive in this game. Yo, again, he'll have a lot of family at this game. He's a star in Oklahoma, all right? He's a star in Oklahoma. It's not a small town. It's a big city. But I expect him to show out and show out big time in this game. And that's pretty much it. So we're going to come back Wednesday with some reactions. I didn't get my due to my hot take podcast, which I apologize. But tomorrow, since it's a couple games into the season and I can still give up some awards, I want to give my MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, we're going to throw out. It's Wembanyama unless he gets hurt. But I want to give my other awards and kind of look at some things I'm seeing. As always, like, share, and subscribe. Tell one friend to tell another friend to tell another friend about the Know Your Role Player podcast. I'll talk to y'all Wednesday. Y'all be good. Peace.